field and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Here we are, January 10th, year of our Lord, 2026. I mentioned last week how 2025 was just a nice number, right? You can add and subtract easy from the number 5. So now it's going to be a little more tricky for 2026. My 25th anniversary was last year, married in the year 2000. So, right? So that's easy for me. But here we are, 2026, in the month of January. A little bit cold yesterday. Pretty nice day today so far. It's going to be chilly and, enough to wear a pullover or sweatshirt. But thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. If this is your first time listening to the show, if you're a casual listener or a regular, I enjoy hearing messages from you guys. Say, hey, great show, Paul. I like that, right? Like, we need to hear positive stuff right there. So 2 hours of high school sports. I know last week we had that great interview with Cam Braca, who just finished his senior season at Fresno State. Just a great story, Buchanan kid, a local kid. So, you know, we'll talk about some Fresno State stuff every once in a while, but just the local community here, the Central Valley, the Central Section, is a special place. And happy to talk about all the good things that go on here. You know, lots of crazy stuff happening in the world, right? Our social media timelines could be filled with junk. I guess that's my fault, right, for subscribing to a lot of accounts that report this stuff. But, hey, for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking high school sports. I want to thank First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show in the Letterman's Jacket Room. I talk about it every time we have a show here, which is, 99% of the time. There's been a few shows where I've had to be at home base on Palma Avenue there across from Bullard High School. But nowhere else I'd rather do my show. Get your Letterman's jackets configured here. It's the only place where you can buy them. They got hats on the wall as well. Obviously, tons of equipment. Hey, spring will be here before you know it. It's one of their big sellers, baseball, softball equipment. So First String Sports, proud sponsors. Love all these guys here that really support the athletes in the Central Valley. Want to also thank Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They sponsor the show directly. If you hear some commercials throughout all the other programming here on 1430 ESPN, they're a great sponsor that we love to talk about as well. They're located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. They do tons of stuff, man. You can pick up anything you want there, all the mulch and your rocks and different things like that. So thanks again to Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. I also want to thank Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, Roth Farms, who helped sponsor our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week that goes on Phil Bonatti's show on Thursdays. They're at Fashion Furniture. He does a great job with that. We love to highlight our Student Athletes of the Week. Then we have a big banquet at the end of the year. We have a male and female athlete of the year. So cool stuff, right? We support our local athletes here on 1430 ESPN. If you go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com, you can listen to any of the other shows. We're also being broadcasted on live on the YouTubes. Just go to 1430 ESPN Fresno YouTube channel, and there we are. We're live. And again, you could go back and listen to any show that you might have missed. Well, you guys, I feel like the last 2 days, at least as far as football goes, just kind of whet our appetite a bit for the football weekend. Lots of stuff, right? I don't remember last year if there was this much football on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday night game. I don't remember. Help me out here. But this is a huge weekend for football. Wild card weekend. Devontae Adams and his Rams playing at 1:30 at Carolina. I think the last time I checked, the spread was 10.5. So Rams fans out there, you guys are looking good, man. That's for a road game, that's about as good as it gets, right? I mean, can Carolina, keep it close? I don't know. They shouldn't, right? I mean, the odds makers are all over this. So Devontae and his guys, he's back from his hamstring injury. But a lot of eyes on Josh Allen. They're one-point underdogs playing at Jacksonville, the three seed. We all know what Jacksonville's done. So we're rooting for Josh, man. We just hope that window is not closing for the Bills. You got some defensive issues. So I don't know. I'm scared of that game. But, I mean, 1 point. But, you know, if anybody could lead a drive and is going to give everything they have, that's definitely our guy. It's our guy, Josh. And did you guys see this? A lot of Niners fans out there listening. You know, the Niners traveling to Philadelphia, who I think they hate their team. The fans hate their team right now. If the Niners go up quick, I think you're going to see and hear a lot of boos. But did you guys know that Hoover grad Eric Kendricks has been signed by the Niners, and he most likely is going to start at middle linebacker? How cool is that? Local guy signed to the team, and he's going to start, or at least get a lot of playing time. That's how depleted San Francisco's defense. So look for Eric Kendricks. You're just one of the great guys in the central from the central section. Always root for him. Jordan Love from Liberty Bakersfield. You know what the Packers have gone through the last four games, traveling to Chicago. It's gonna be a hot game. Excited for that one. I think game's at 5 o'clock today. But what about Indiana? That great story. The Hoosiers are absolutely on fire. I was talking to some guys after the game. I'm like, I don't know if you could take an all-star team or the best players from the three other teams that are in the final four, could they even match up against Indiana? I mean, that'd be a really good game, right? Be a great game. So tons of football the last few days, and obviously we got the NFL wildcard weekend ahead of us. All right, on the show today, we've got a bunch of news and notes. I got like three pages of notes, so I don't know how much I'm going to get to, but I got a lot of good stuff. There's been a lot of basketball, high school basketball, ramped up this week especially. Start of league, I was able to check out three games this week. We broadcasted the Kingsburg game on Tuesday. I'll get to some of that stuff in just a minute. At 10:35, we've got Tyrone Jackson scheduled to come on. He's the first-year head coach at Clovis West. You guys know Tyrone, right? One of the legends, one of the all-time greats from the Golden Eagles, played for Coach Wahlberg on those great teams in the early 2000s. It was a long-time assistant for Vance. You know, when Vance came back, he was his number one guy. Took over the program this year. Eagles are 14-7 after defeating Central East last night, 83-69. I've had some great conversations with T. Good guy, man. Again, incredible basketball player. Played at City and played at Arizona State as well. I know they have their first Little Hoopsters at Clovis West. And if any of you know anything about Little Hoopsters, you know it could just be a bunch of chaos. I got all these little mighty mites running around, getting crazy, dribbling basketballs, and sometimes it's like herding cattle. So fingers crossed that Tyrone's going to be able to make it here to First String Sports. If not, I'm going to have to do a little audible. But, yeah, hoping that that Tyrone comes here to First String. We could catch up with him. You guys can hear his story and what's going on with Clovis West basketball. You know, Jace Kellogg. Oh, my gosh, there he is. He's even early. All right, excited. All right, T, we'll bring you on in just a few minutes. Man, excited for that. All right, so, you know, Jace Kellogg's having a phenomenal season so far for Clovis West. That guy is just putting on a scoring display. All right, so the top of hour number two. I have a couple good friends. They happen to be boys basketball coaches here in the Valley. Got Ken Vossler from Justin Garza and Josh Bergman from Central Valley Christian. They're both going to be here. They're going to both be on with me for about, I don't know, half an hour or so. I've known these guys since we attended Fresno Pacific together. Just a couple great guys, right? Just salt of the earth people. They're having really good seasons to start off as well. The Guardians are 11-6. They didn't play the last couple of days. They had a game against Sunnyside on Tuesday. CVC is 14-3. So it's going to be a good time. We're going to chop it up with those two guys at the top of hour number two. And then towards the end, Paul Hernandez, who came on the show earlier this year, he does a fantastic job with boys basketball rankings. So after, what are we at? I don't know, 18, 19 games so far, we'll get a good glimpse of where he sees these teams ranking-wise. I'll be honest, I don't think there's a whole lot of movement in the boys' game this year, as far as rankings go. So, but we'll chat with him, and we'll kind of break down what he's been able to check out this year so far. All right, so that is what is on the agenda. I mentioned we broadcasted the Fresno Christian at Kingsburg game on Tuesday. Just the regular Eagles. They went to state championship game last year here in the Central Section. They're 14-1. Actually, they cheated them a win, but they only lost on season. In that game, 69-57 over Kingsburg. Remember, Kingsburg does have a win over Clovis West in the second game of the season. That was a big matchup between Jensen Hirschhorn from Kingsburg, 6'7", and Leon Maddock, 6'6". That's what that young man has grown into. Yes, if that name sounds familiar, that's Ed Maddock's son. Watched him as a sophomore when he led Kerman to a Central Section title, scored 30 points at Selland Arena. Well, that dude scored 35 points in the win over Kingsburg. He was an absolute beast, scored 21 in the second half. You know, as the kids say, he's got a bag, man. So he can score at any level. Was hitting threes, was, you know, posting up, was hitting floaters. So keep an eye on Fresno Christian. They did lose a couple guys to transfers, but they kind of reloaded, and Maddock is looking really, really good. So congrats to Fresno Christian. And, you know, we're actually going to have Coach John Penberthy on the show next week, so look forward to that. I was also able to go to one of the great matchups in the Central Valley, and that is San Joaquin Memorial and Buller. It doesn't matter what sport. My gosh, I've been to a lot of those matchups, and no love lost between the two schools, that's for sure. So they played on Thursday, so a lot of CMAC games are going to be on Thursday this year. This game was at Memorial, and you know, we know how good Memorial is. And in my opinion, they're the second-best team in the Central Section behind St. Joe's. They beat Buller 68-48. Kind of a close game for a while. Felt like just Buller didn't have enough firepower to get over the hump. So it ended up being a 20-point win for the Panthers. Jackson Silverstone had 18 points. Had one of the best dunks I've seen in a long time. Now, this kid isn't super big at all or super tall, about 6'2". And he got a head of steam on a pseudo fast break. No one picked him up, and you could just see he had some determination in his eyes. And he went up in the lane off 1 foot, and just absolutely crammed it. The gym went bonkers. It was an and-one play, missed a free throw, but yeah, just a great game from the Panthers. Jaden Johnson, a freshman who also had a dunk, had 13. Sajan Sadu at 12. He had a dunk. It kind of bounced out of the rim. They had to stop the game and figure out if it went all the way through, and it did. Parker Spees had a nice alley-oop dunk. He's not scoring that much in the last few games, but his team's winning basketball games. Javance Coleman at 21 for Bullard. He is their main dude. He looked good. I've watched that kid for 4 years. Got to get him on the show because he's got a great story, good player. So Memorial takes round one. Remember, Bullard won the CMAC last year. And last night, I checked out the track opener between Clovis and Buchanan. Buchanan, defending track champs, went to the D1 title game last year. They've been getting it done on defense. And any time, right, a Tom Orlich team is on the court, you know what you're going to see. You're going to see great defense. You can see, you know, good shooting. Not a lot of turnovers, hopefully. But good game, as advertised. Clovis is a much-improved team, man. They look like a basketball team. Those that know understand what I'm saying. Like, they pass the eyeball test when they walk onto the court. So, tight game, man, all the way through. Clovis got a couple steals and layups to tie it up 48 with 14 seconds left in the game. Tom calls a timeout, and they set up a play. And sure enough, they got a layup with 2 seconds left for Des Patton. We had just a nice entry pass to Devin Gaines, who slipped under the basket for the layup. 2 seconds left, called another timeout, wasn't able to get a good shot off, was close. But, hey, Cougars look really impressive. Coach Mayberry doing a fantastic job so far. I think he's got a heck of a coaching staff as well, man. Just a who's who, a bunch of D1 guys. So that is a program on the rise. So congrats to Buchanan. For when they only got two losses on the season, only allowed those 39 points per game. So good stuff by them. Clovis girls look really good against Buchanan. Came away with a 65-46 victory. Sadie Sin, amazing. Earlier in the year, they beat the number one team from Hawaii. And kind of the shocker from the whole night last night, down goes the Clovis West girls. If you guys didn't see that, Clovis West girls only lost one game on the season, ranked sixth in the state, nationally ranked as well. But Central went into Clovis West and beat them 50-45. So congrats to the Bengals. Yes, the Bengals. For taking down the Golden Eagles. I mean, I watched the the final couple seconds, and they celebrated on the court. I mean, because that's a big win. That's a big win for them. Congrats to them. They were 9-6 before they went into that game. Lost to Carruthers and Buchanan. So yeah, Clovis West loses their track opener. That's probably nothing. Probably hasn't been done ever, losing a track opener. So. Anyway, kind of a stunner, if I'm being honest, but Central's a good team. Central's a good team. All right, so let's take a break. I got a couple more news and notes. Heck, I don't know. Maybe I might bring in Tyrone because he's got to get back. He's here already. He's got to get back to his little hoopsters. Let's do that. Let's bring on Coach Jackson. I got a few things I could fill in later if he's got to go. But, yeah, excited to bring on Clovis West Coach Tyrone Jackson. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Right. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. Got Tyrone Jackson on the show right now, first-year head coach at Clovis West High School. And among my many pages of news and notes, I gave Clovis West another loss. What is wrong with me? They are 14-6. He was yes. You were quick to, I mean, you put me down gently. You tapped my shoulder, said, "Paul, 14-6, not 14-7." So I appreciate that. Yes. You didn't punch me in my shoulder. You just kind of gently, "Paul, we are 14-6."
Oh no, yeah, guys are working hard. I got a young group, and they're working hard. So we need all the wins we can get.
I know. I never want to do that. Accuracy is very important in this. So I've known Tyrone for a while and got to watch him play when he was in high school in the early 2000s. And I think we got caught up. I think it might have introduced myself when you were a coach at Bullard. I don't know if you remember those days.
Yes.
You know, my daughters went to Bullard. So, kind of hanging out of practice whatnot. And I said, "Hey, I'm Paul Meadows," whatever. Da, 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 da. And so, you were real kind back then. So I appreciate it. You didn't just, fluff me off and say, who's this guy trying to talk to me here? But I appreciate that, T.
No, thank you. It's been some years, and you've been a great friend of mine and to our program. So appreciate you.
So were you at Little Hoopsters making sure everything's set up, coming here, and you kind of left some of your assistants, some of your players to the chaos over there?
Oh, yes. It's the first day, so it's chaotic. Lots of things going on, head spinning. So, but I got great staff, and I got great parents, and so they've kind of helped me out with that and taken some lead on some things. And so it's a great community and great teamwork here. And so, but it was a great first day, great start, and so they're continuing, and it's going well.
So you saw all the little, 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds with their parents not knowing where to go, wearing their little jerseys, right? Is that kind of what it looked like over there?
Yes, it's the foundation. So you got all the little guys running around, you got to tuck your jersey in. It's where it all starts, the foundation of our program, just the little details. And so it was great to see those guys and to get them out there because it is the foundation of our program.
Absolutely.
It's very important. And so it was great to see everyone.
All right, so let's talk about last night's game. So track opener is really important, right? You kind of have the different phases of the season. You got preseason, whatever you want to call it, and you got tournaments. Now you got league. So how good was it to get in that win column and get that first win over Central East?
No, it was great. It was great. I think it gives the guys a lot of confidence, especially with having a young team and not a lot of experience. I got Jace Kellogg, who's been phenomenal, great leader. As well, he's been playing great. And so to get that first win under your belt as a young team, as we're building the foundation this year with myself being the first year head coach, and so it was really awesome and good momentum to build on.
Hey, help me out. Was the game at Central East?
Yes, Central East.
Okay, because they do the flip-flop, right, when you play there? Like, was your game at 6:30?
Yes.
As opposed to 7 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you mentioned Jace, what, 34 points last night. Like, what was working? Just like a little bit of everything, like the defense played well. I mean, you guys put up 83 points. That's a good, right? That's what kind of what you want the games in. But, like, defensively, were you really happy? Rebounding-wise, was there a specific thing?
I think all around. I think, for me, honestly, I left the game feeling like there's always, as a coach, you know, you're kind of critiquing. And so I kind of find myself doing that and getting home later trying to not do that on film. But I think overall we stuck to our game plan, you know, and that game plan was to play good defense and rebound and not give second chances. And so I think the guys did that, you know, especially being for such a young group and just understanding what our plan is and executing.
So you mentioned the young group, right? Yes. Can't wait to get into that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's 6 wins in a row for you guys. You mentioned Jace, and he's – basically the only senior that gets significant minutes. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And then, but you got some young guys. You got some juniors and some sophomores that are contributing. I think a couple freshmen are on the roster as well. So the progress of this team, 14 wins, right? Is that kind of where you thought you'd be? Or what's been impressive about the progress of these guys?
It's been really impressive. You know, we had a good summer. We had some guys on the team that played a lot in the summer for us. So a lot of these guys didn't get to play as much in the summer as I would like. And so I'm very proud of their progress from September till now. A lot of the young guys have grown, you know, Cannon Green, Hunter Bradford has grown a lot. Jamel Castro has grown a lot. And so all the young guys, I have Hosea Dixon, who hasn't played basketball since his freshman year, who started playing in seventh grade. So he's 3 years in. And he's starting for us, and he's doing a great job defensively, understanding and picking up the game. So it's been a contribution from a lot of guys that are not a lot of experience, but they've been working their butts off in the off season, and they're executing our game plan, and they're trying their best. And that's all I kind of ask of the guys. Give your all. Work your hardest. Give your all. And then the outcome will be the outcome, but as long as we learn and grow.
And they better.
Yes.
They better. That's been instilled for you for a while.
Yes.
So, yeah, extension of what you learned throughout your career. All right, let's get into Jace a little bit, right? You know, he's you can't not know who he is on the court. That's for sure, right?
For
he's
sure.
Distinct on the court for many different ways. I mean, he's got the big hair, and he's got, you know, just kind of that serious mentality. I think I've seen him smile a couple times. But, you know, the dude – has really progressed from his sophomore year, and his roles have changed, right, from sophomore year to his senior year. What has been the most impressive thing about Jace this season that you've seen as his head coach?
Honestly, it's his leadership. It's how he's helped these young guys along. You know, sometimes you come in, you got a senior, and he's got a bunch of young guys, and it's his last year. It's kind of like, this is where I want to go. You know, it's tough. And so Jace took an injury early in the season. He played the first 2 games, and he sat out for like 3 weeks, didn't play the 3 games in Rockland. And on the bench, he became a great coach. He became the leader, and he saw it from our eyes. And I think that really propelled him to continue his leadership role. And he kind of understood more what this team needed. And I've been so proud of him for that, because I think he's been there for these young guys. He's had their back, you know, through thick and thin. You know, the young guys, we make mistakes, you know, but he's been there for them, picking them up, showing them the game in practice. He's a big-time leader on the floor, and that was my biggest thing for him this year. I know Jace is a baller.
Yeah.
Jace is a real baller, and so my thing for him was, you know, be a big-time leader and grow in that area for yourself, for your future, because I think he has a big-time future.
I do too, and I think I've seen 3 games, maybe 4. I hung out, you know, at your Nike tournament, which was a lot of fun. He could very easily, right, and I'm sure you've seen this 1,000 times, like kind of shake his head, body language, right? You talk about the young guys, you know, make a pass that's not converted into a layup, you know, throw the hands up. I haven't seen that at all from him, right? That's part of his leadership.
Yes, and that's been such a big growth, you know, with last year, like, you know, going for the job. That was my hope with his junior year, being with him and being able to kind of instill that. And so to not have that year but see him so quickly develop that, it's been awesome. And I'm really proud of him for it, because it's been a huge part of the way we are right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His Euro step, or whatever you want to call it, man, it's so fun to watch. His timing, and, you know, a couple of reverse layups that I saw in that tournament, is like, man, how did he get those shots off? Has there been like a certain play or a series of plays that has impressed you?
Oh yeah.
Or your staff? You're looking at your staff like, dang, Jace just did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Multiple times in a game usually, but a big one for me was that he had the 52, he broke the record. and he kind of dribbling down in the first half and loses the ball on the right side. It's almost going out of bounds in the corner. Picks it up. Wow, dead eye three. I'm like, wow. Like, you know, it was kind of like a big time shot. And so look at the coaches. They're like, oh, he's having a night. And he sure did. And so, nah, he always, like I said, he's impressed me with his play with his teammates.
Sure.
That's been the big thing. And his assists, you know, he's averaging about 6-7 assists. That's been a thing for me. You know, we all know Chase is a phenomenal scorer, but he's averaging 6 rebounds. You know, so I told him incorporating, you know, all facets of the game to show that to coaches. Because, like I said, I think he has a big-time future, and I think whoever gets a chance to get their hands on him, they're going to get a special
player. Why would you not want him on your team next year at the college level? Absolutely. So you mentioned on the young guys. Obviously, you know, you mentioned some names, but Hunter Bradford and Castro, right, your freshman, Jamel.
Yes.
You need those guys to rebound the basketball.
Oh, yes.
Right? So for a sophomore and a freshman to be your main rebounders, right, they get after it. Let's be honest. They got long arms, right? They box out pretty well. But what is it like coaching, like, those young guys and then try to get them used to the varsity level?
Oh, no, it's been great because both of those guys, they bring a different kind of energy. And all preseason, it was a battle. Hunter, Jamel, battle. And we had conversations about them making each other better. And I think we're now seeing that. And so they work their butts off. They want to get better. They both ask questions all the time. They want to grow. And I've seen so much growth in both of them, whether it's on the court, whether it's mentally about the game. They're both growing. And like I told them a couple weeks ago, like, if you two don't perform, it's hard for our team.
Right.
You know, I got a couple of freshmen I talked to about that. Like, you guys don't perform. You're a sophomore. You don't perform. Our team struggles a little bit. It's hard. I'm sorry. But that's the situation we're in right now. And they've been doing great.
All right. So next week you got, Clovis East on Tuesday and then Buchanan. Both home games.
Yes.
On Friday. Track, as always, right? It's an animal. It's a beast. I see a lot of parity this year, right? I mean, there's – I can say it because I don't have a big skin in the game, but there's no easy wins on anybody's schedule, right? In the past, I'll just say it, right?
Nope.
Be like, yeah, we're probably gonna win that one, But winning the track or competing in the track, right? What kind of battles are you gonna expect against some of these teams?
Oh, night in, night out. It's you got to play the game and you got to be locked in. You got to execute. There's a lot of great players, and I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of players around here. One of the things I do as a coach is when I see a player, every time I see him, I look for growth. And I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of the programs. And so I think it's going to be very exciting. I think you're going to have a lot of nail biters. Like last night, you saw our game was close. Buchanan, Clovis High came down. I know Clovis East, Clovis North was
close. I was close for a while, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you're going to show up every night, and you got to show up to play. And that's kind of what I talk to the guys about. You got to be prepared, you know. And so prepare yourself and then go out there and give your all. Like I said, the outcome is going to be the outcome.
Yeah.
But you got to give your all and execute what you worked on and what you prepared for. And so it's going to be a fun track.
Fun track, yeah. Tyron, I'm curious about all the, your road to becoming the head coach at Clovis West. You're a Clovis West guy through and through, right?
Yes, sir.
What does it mean to you? Right? Do you kind of pinch yourself sometimes too? Like, oh my gosh, I am the head coach at Clovis West. I am the director of sport. This is the court that I played on. You know, I got a lot of memories. Like, how much do you value being the head coach?
I value it a lot because this program has kind of made me the man I am. Like, the community, the people that were involved when I was coming through, and the people involved now. And so it's kind of bigger than basketball for me. Like, you know, I want to build young men and get ready to have them have their families and their jobs and take care of that, you know, the right way. And so that's kind of what was instilled in me. And so I'm very happy to be a part of that. I'm very thankful that I was able to be a part. Now I'm very thankful I get a lead and add to that. I want to add to that and continue to build young men. Like, I see a lot of guys that are some playing in college, some just got done, and I want to be able to them to come back and see what they've built and what they've contributed to and just continue that tradition that we have. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I still wake up wondering like how I got here.
Well, you got here through a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. Your first game was like it was against San Luis Obispo. What was that a home game? Did you play that?
Yes,
at home?
It was a home game.
How nervous were you?
I was really nervous. You know, I was nervous about the game for a little bit. Then it was like nervous about how am I going to help these guys get through situations in the game. You know, it's one thing being an assistant. Yeah. But when you're the head coach, there's so many different things. And so I'm learning a lot, but it was really nerve-wracking. But most of it was about the guys. Like, how do I make sure they're prepared? Even though we prepared. It's like, did I get them prepared? I was nervous about that more than win-loss.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where's your office? Because we know Vance's famous office right there. Is that you took
same
over?
Same office.
You took
same
over.
Office. Yes, sir. Same office. That's tradition.
Yeah.
That's a piece of Clovis West boys basketball that's been there. We've had couches, TVs, microwaves, soda machines. So it's a great, great spot for us.
Did you, was it weird? Like, was there some leftover stuff that's been there for a while? You're like, wait, where this, maybe Vance left some stuff? Or is there anything left over? Is it like totally your personality now?
There was a little bit. I mean, mainly we still have the same ball racks that I used in high school, but we've gotten rid of a lot of stuff, you know. But coach left some stuff. He set some nice things up, you know. Like he painted a board on the wall that you can use to mark. He just, you know, he's always thinking ahead to help himself make things easier. And so he's got a lot of little things around the office that he did for me, and well, he did for himself, but it helps me out a lot. it's been great. He's all the equipment that he helped us get and purchase. We have Vertimax's coach help, you know, fundraise and build. He's built so much, and he's done so much for our program. And well, it's his program. You know, it's something that he built. And like I said, I just want to add to it. You know, he's taught me all the little things, the hard work, the leadership, the dedication, and just to add to that. But he's left us with tremendous wealth, I would say. And that's not financial. It's everything involved in the program.
Do you hear his voice in your head when you're coaching?
Yes.
Like what you do, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you hear a lot?
Just the process. Understand the process you're in with your players. You know, understand they're still young men, you know. And so just remembering that as I'm thinking about things in the game, or I'm going through my process and how we need to approach things, you know, just think about make sure the decisions are for the kids, the players, mm-hmm. you know. Like, and I try to do that because I am a coach, but those guys play. You know, I have my lens, but their lens is a little more important. And so I just try to remember that.
Good stuff. Yeah. I think we all have that, right? That internal voice from whether it's a father figure, your own dad, right? This is just constantly in your head. That's a great way to phrase it. Talking with Tyrone Jackson, head coach at Clovis West High School. All right, let's go to the memory machine, right? The way back machine. I love to chop it up with guys that played in the Valley and some of the great memories that they had, and maybe it will, you know, unleash some memories that the listeners have as well. Maybe hear some stories that they didn't know. You know, those days back playing, right? Just hearing the gym and seeing the lines of people to get in there. What are some memories, like even right now, as far as your playing days pop into your head?
Well, just like even talking to the kids about showing up to a game, you know, big games. I remember showing up in the line going from the door to where the police station is, like down the tennis courts, and just wondering why so many people support. What are we doing to have that, you know? And now being older and being a coach, I understand that, like, the hard work, the discipline, you know, and how people respect and honor that. You know, when they show up to your game consistently to watch you play. And I just think that was kind of a big thing for me going back right now, looking at it. That was a huge moment. Like, a lot of people supported us, you know, for a high school team. And so but it is also, I think, it factors into being a great young man. I think I played with a lot of young men or peers in high school that great men, you know, and they great family men now. They own businesses. And so I think that was a huge part of it. And that's kind of what, like I said, I want to continue to build on. I want these guys to understand that basketball is basketball. But in the end, we're all men, and you have to have a family and take care of one day. And so having that has been really good.
That is so huge. I didn't play high school football, and I think you wanted to play football, right?
Yes,
but you're a basketball
yes.
guy. You know, I hear that a lot about football, right? You're literally putting your body on the line for your buddies.
Yes.
And it's the locker room. It's the rides there. It's, you know, the goofy things that you do before or after games. You know, a lot of good stuff happened on the court. A lot of heartbreaking stuff could happen on the court. But it's those things, right? It's the camaraderie. It's, you know, 20, 25 years later, 30 years later, you're texting your buddies,
yes.
right? Because
yes.
because those are your guys.
Of course. No, Jason, you know, Jason just got married about a year, it's almost 2 years now. You know, going back, us getting together and going through that, you know, it was pretty awesome, you know, because now we're all in our, you know, we're all great buddies, we all connect, but now we're all in our own lives.
Yeah.
And so to go back and be able to meet up and to an important event and then talk about, you know, our memories and people talk to us about our memories, it's always great because I do think we all work really hard. I don't think when you're going through it, you get to enjoy it as much.
Well, didn't you guys have shoot-arounds at 5 in the morning? I mean,
Oh,
just crazy stuff like that.
yeah, we'd be on the floor, shoes tied and ready to go 5:15. I talked to our guys about it. I said, "You guys get 6:30. You guys are okay." But no, but that's what built our program. That's what instilled in us the hard work and the focus, the resilience to keep going. Like, you don't put in that work and want to give in, you know.
You, Chris Hernandez, Jason.
Nick Devin, Brian
Nick.
Thurman, Brett Caton, Andrew Awad, Eric Norcross. I can go on and on. Ash Knowlton, Brad Hurdle. I was very fortunate to be in a program with a lot of great men, great players, and to this day we still connect and talk, and it's the same.
The BCW tournament.
Oh, yes.
Legendary tournament. Back in the day, it was Buchanan Clovis West. That's what it stood for. Right? Who were some of those top teams that you remember playing on your court? Or Buchanan, maybe you had some games at Buchanan, I don't know. But like that tournament in the early 2000s, was it like a 4-year deal? I don't know.
They
Three,
did it,
maybe?
We did it for a while. Yeah, it was about like
maybe
4 years.
Five, I
think
know.
Like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
It went on for a while. Coach Brandis, Jason Brandis, you know, he huge in that tournament, getting all the great teams, you know, talking to the coaches, just like this year. Huge in helping me develop my tournament, which we're building. It was something it was his baby. So he was always working to get the Dominguezes, the Crenshaws, the Inglewoods, you know, Uplands, Ayellas, like really good teams. And so I just remember that tournament and teams coming down like Tyson Chandler and Dominguez, where we played them 1 year. And I know another year Central played them in the East Gym, was packed out. So it wasn't just a Clovis West thing. It was like our town,
a valley
our
thing. We're representing,
yes.
Right?
And so I kind of it was such a great tournament. I hope one day we can get back to that in Fresno in this valley where we are bringing those teams here to compete against our valley teams who are very good.
I think it will happen. Did you have a mentality of like, hey, all right, so we're bringing all these teams up here. We want to show them we can play ball too, right? Like, okay, SoCal's, we know it. You guys got some dogs down there, but we can play some basketball here too. Was that kind of the mentality with you guys?
Oh, yes. It was always, how do you get better? And getting better is playing the best competition. And so when we played, you got to remember, we were Southern. We didn't go Northern. And so we were always playing in the best of the West summer tournament, or the down South, they play Long Beach State. And best of the West, they had summer. Artesia would put one on, so we'd always go. Artesia had great teams we battled against. There's some Crenshaw teams. Verbin Day, they had a kid named Marlon Palmer. They just a lot of great teams going down South, and so it was very huge for us. And that's one of the things I want to do, get back down. That's the
All
it's
right.
big time competition.
I like it. So one of my memories from the BCW tournament was I was newly married. I can't believe this is the second time I've mentioned this, but in 2000, and you know, I'm a fan of high school sports, obviously, and I wanted to go check out Tyson Chandler. He was in town. Like, hey, this guy could, you know, make the leap, you know, and be a top five NBA guy, 7 foot, can shoot a three, can do a little bit of everything. So I dragged my wife to go watch the game at Clovis West, and that night was so foggy. It was one of those famous fogs that you could barely see 10 feet in front of you, if any at all. And so I'm driving, and I'm trying to I'm pretending to be calm, right? I'm like, oh, I got this. Inside I'm like shaking, like, okay, I'm looking to the left to see if I'm, you know, in my right, in the correct lane. And my wife is so mad at me. You're dragging me to a high school basketball game and we might die because of this. So we get to the game, watch the game, it's fine. But that's something we kind of laugh about now. But You remember that night?
Oh, yeah. I definitely remember that night. We had a championship game that night, but we also had our formal. So after our game, we got to take pictures. We missed a lot of the dance, but at least take pictures with our dates and things like that. So we had to hurry up, get dressed, and drive over. I just remember coming down Shepherd on the backside. And this is before all the houses and things back there behind Buchanan. So it was a lot more orchards and fields. And so it was really foggy. I just remember opening my window, trying to look at the line, like right in front of me. And so just taking my time. But it was really foggy, but a great night.
Yeah, I remember that night very well. All right, Clovis West, and then you follow Vance to play at Fresno City, right? And you guys are winning basketball games that are used to your, obviously, coach's style, putting up what? You guys probably put up crazy numbers.
We averaged 105 and 109
oh,
2 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And you were your state player of the year?
Yes.
Your sophomore year?
My first year.
Your first year?
My first year. Sophomore year was like the
co. All right. Yeah. Who were you co with?
Tyrone Riley and Julian Sinsley.
Okay.
Yeah, both right. really good players.
All right. All right. Put up 50 points in a game?
Yes.
True story?
Yes.
Is that Modesto?
Modesto, yes. 50 points. I think I came out with about 8 minutes to go.
Vance pulled you.
Yeah. It was. We were up, and so it's always good to get your other guys some time. And,
all right.
You know, I had my time.
Do you think if you could have had 60, you could put up 60? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I could. Right. Yeah. I think the school record was 53.
But Vance did that to Cole Anderson too, right? Cole Anderson had those 11 straight 3-pointers at 50 points after 3 quarters and sat him the 4th.
Yes.
That's Vance, though. He always respects the game.
Yes.
Respect the game, number one.
Yes. No, definitely.
When you're hanging out, you know, just doing your thing, whether it's little hoopsters or out on the street or before a game or after a game, do people a lot of times bring up those days when you played for Clovis West? Like, oh, I remember this game. Like, do people come up to you and say, dude, I remember how much fun it was to watch your teams back then?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of it is the atmosphere. They bring up the atmosphere, and then, like, a couple people – come up lately and talked about Modesto Christian game, you know, Chuck Hayes and those guys.
Right. Midgley?
Richard Midgley and things. It was a game voted California of the Year that year. So, and it was a really good game, 95-94, back and forth. So a lot of people remember that game, and they remember the atmosphere. And that's what we got to get back to, just the huge crowds and everyone in the community enjoying young men work their best on the court.
And you'll get there, man. I've seen the seeds, T. You know, your young guys that you talked about, obviously Jace. You know, you guys are building for the future, but you want to win now, obviously, right? You want to, you know, play winning basketball. What are some you know, things about coaching, right, that you are finding out pretty quickly that maybe you didn't know in the past?
When you're an assistant, it's like right now, like right in front of you. When you're the man, the head guy, it's like I have to see the whole picture, and I got to remind myself that every day. Like I go home and critique the moment, but also there's a huge picture. And so just that's been a huge thing for me in trying to learn and understand that part and compartmentalize like how I need to do things in my process and things like that. But I learn every day. Like every day I learn, and I have to make sure I keep an open mind the rest of my years coaching. I just feel it's important as a person that you learn every day. And I try to go into it learning from everyone. Learn from my players, learn from assistant coaches, learn from other basketball and other people, even in the community who watch and come support us, you know, just listening and learning. And I think I like learning, so that's a good thing. But just making sure that I learn what I need to learn to help our guys improve daily.
Your favorite NBA player of all time?
Scottie Pippen. That's why I wore 33. Long arms, defensive-minded. I'm a defensive-minded person. Yes, I was a really good offensive player, but I just think on defense, you can take someone's soul. I think, you know, people can score on you, and it's like, but when you can stop them from scoring and you can score, it's a pretty good thing.
Pippen would are you one of those guys that say that Jordan would have won those titles without Pippen? I mean, that's kind of an obvious statement, but right, is it going, hey man, Jordan got those rings, but don't forget Pippen.
Oh, very impactful, a versatile player, rebound, assist, score, defense, guard the best player, and just I think that's kind of like my mindset about coaching. Those are the type of players I want. I want
do
to
do everything, guys. Swiss Army knife.
Put me on the court, coach. Just put me on the court. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do everything. And the main thing is play defense and guard.
Who's the most famous basketball player you've ever met?
Ooh, sheesh.
I mean, you never met Scotty, right?
No, never met Scotty. Met Shaq.
You did?
Yeah.
Where did you meet Shaq at?
I met him at CJ Johnson's house. So he's very close with Gary Payton. Those guys, they always would come down. Gary Payton. I met Ben Wallace when I was at Arizona State. They play Phoenix, come down. I had a conversation with him. Mark Cuban, actually, if you're not a player, but coach, you know, I was fortunate enough to have drinks with him.
All right.
but there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of players. But to be honest, the young guys, you know, like these young guys, I like watching Jalen, these guys. Yeah. I like seeing our guys from Fresno do good, Cedric and those guys. The guys coming up in college right now, like LaJuan, those guys. And so I'm just very excited that I've had the opportunity to be around a lot of great players and meet great players.
That's awesome. Our time is up, man. I wanted to go, man, got my mind going talking about Cedric Cowher. I mean, God, that dude is tearing it up in the NBA. I never thought that he was. You know, I was looking at an NBA player when I watched him play in your gym.
Yeah, no, but that, like, we always talked about it. He's a guy. Okay. Yeah, he's a guy that you'll see him in the future.
Okay.
No, his versatility, his attributes, his long arms. Like, you just see players and you know things. Yeah, but it's a process too, right? And I think he understood it. He stuck with it. You know, I didn't think he wanted too much. He took the road that was given, and he worked his butt off, and look where he's at now.
And look where you're at right now. T, I'm so happy and proud of you for grinding it out and working your way to the top. You're coaching at your alma mater, so hey, proud of you, and you got some games to win the rest of this season. So go hang out with those little hoopsters and look for the next generation. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Paul, for having me.
You bet. You bet. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got some more action here. We got Ken Bossner and Josh Bergman coming on the show on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Field and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Had a great first hour. Tyrone Jackson, man, I got so much cool news and notes. I hate doing that. I always over-prepare. I had lots of cool stuff that I wanted to get out to you guys, some good information. But, man, Tyrone took over, and he did a great job. Clovis West boys basketball is in good hands. That's for darn sure. 14-6 on the season. As I mentioned in my opener, hour number two is going to feature a couple of programs, a couple of head coaches that are off to great starts. We got Josh Bergman, the head coach at CVC. Cavs are 15-3. They defeated Selma last night 78-43, one of their best games of the season so far. And Ken Vossler from Justin Garza. Guardians are 11-6, defeated Sunnyside on Tuesday, I believe, 66-42. They're taking on Hoover Tuesday, a game that we're going to have live on 1430 ESPN. A couple guys that have sat in these hot seats, right, with the lights glaring down on you in the past, but hey, I decided let's bring them together. We've known each other for what? We're going on, so let's say early 90s. Right, 10 plus 20, like almost 35 years,
that's
guys,
crazy.
Since those Fresno Pacific days.
Yeah.
35 years.
I was there 93 to 96.
If I would have told you guys back then when we were hanging out, right, we got a couple goofy pictures that I've texted in our text thread the last couple days, some memories of playing ball together. If I said, you know, 30-whatever years in the future, that you guys would be head coaches of a program and on an ESPN radio show, what would you have said? You crazy?
You know.
Huh? Or could you have seen it?
I could, but maybe not necessarily the context it is. But, I mean, we're all sports nuts. Like I just remember just between baseball cards and fantasy football, Super Tecmo Bowl, whatever it is, we're always kind of involved with sports. So you're kind of always that guy that just the glue, the storyteller. Right, that guy that kind of kept conversation going, if you will. We were kind of quiet ones, just kind of doing our thing. So basketball was a big part of my life, a big part of Bergman's life, and I could see it.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's like I had no intentions of getting into coaching. I wasn't an educator. I'm working in agriculture. But my love for basketball never quit. And before I had kids, I was able to work under Rex Robertson at Golden West. And then my brother-in-law, Craig Cummings, was at Tulare Western. And I got a year under him as well, being an assistant coach. And I just kept my love for the game. And then I had four kids and raised them and got away from coaching. And then the opportunity came, you know, 3 years ago at CVC, and I applied and got the job.
What was it ever like a goal? Did you ever see yourself, yeah, you know, after I play basketball, you know, I love the game. I could see myself being a head coach or get into coaching.
Personally, I always planned on coaching.
Yeah.
Like that was just an extension of my playing days. So I think near the end, especially Fresno Pacific, as you know, not basketball was coming to an end for me, but just kind of the playing part was. I saw the transition into coaching. I went into it right away. Kind of unlike, you know, Bergman with the job, I took a couple of years off. But then as soon as I got back to Fresno, I was kind of called back into it. So it was always part of my DNA. And I was very happy as an assistant working, you know, under Coach LeBeau at Central. I kind of saw like the assistant role for me, get to coach, get to be around kids, get to mentor kids. And then, of course, that itch comes to be a, you know, a head coach. So you go out there and get your first head job and start working your program. And then just kind of like wildfire, just it's kind of addicting and kind of a thing that just it's got to be a part of
your DNA. Part of your DNA, yeah, you said that. Yeah, yeah.
For me, I always thought I'd coach my kids growing up. Yeah. The rec leagues, the AAU stuff, that was a blast. Never thought high school. Mm-hmm. Never in my wildest dreams. And then the opportunity came to be a part at CVC. And my wife actually said, you better apply for that job because if you don't get it, you're going to be very upset if they hire someone that you don't like. It's your fault you didn't even try. So I ended up going through the interview process, and I ended up getting the job. And I'm like, oh, shoot, now I got to do it. Like, I got to do it.
I like the freak here, but now, I mean, could you have imagined, Josh, your son, who's here, who's a great player, could you imagine somebody else coaching your kid at the high school level? Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, that was going to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, we were really close to going to Todd Brown, and who's a great friend of mine, and at Emmanuel. And I'm like, I can't take my kids out of Central Valley Christian. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity that I got to coach there and coach my son.
That's awesome. You guys have played each other what? How many times? This year, last year, playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Three times.
Three?
Yeah. 0-3.
So the Justin Garza is 0-3, and the CVC is 3-0. You guys still friends after games? What's that? I got to be honest. I watched your game at Justin Garza, CVC 1, and I was kind of, all right, how are they going to shake hands? Is there going to be a hug? Is there going to be some words? And it was a quick handshake, right? Quick handshake and then go your separate ways. But you guys are still cool, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, I don't want to be misinterpreted. I want to beat CVC. I want to beat whoever we're playing. But afterwards, I think Josh was very respectful, kind of had a little heated end to the game in a way on our side. So good little quick handshake. But then the text afterwards just saying, hey, you know, great job and great program. Always excited to play you guys. You got, you know, all the normal, popping circumstance. And then down the line, just, hey.
What if you guys would have settled it on the court afterwards? You know the Rocky, was it Rocky 3 afterwards? You know, Apollo and Rocky go after it. How about, you know, when everybody's gone, the lights are off, you guys could just settle it one-on-one?
Yeah.
I don't know how that would go right now.
I don't know either, and I don't want to see it.
I think a lot of threes.
There'd be,
not a lot,
there'd be a lot of shots.
If that were the case, then I don't think it would go well for me. So
No, but like Kenny and I, like there's certain brotherhood you get when you play. You become teammates, and in college especially, just because it's the first time you're on your own, and you really just rely on your friendships and your teammates. And Paul, you were a big part of that too, because you were in our circle of friends with our group. And I just remember, like, Kenny's, you know, the time at practice or in the Vans or at Sizzler, or just Kenny's dry sense of humor, his pure sarcasm. Just, I don't think I laughed more harder in my life than my time spent with you, Paul, Kenny, and all those guys in those photos that you shared with us.
It's a great brotherhood, man. Yeah. I talk about that a lot. Obviously, Tim Edmondson at Boulder. I mean, just lots of cool guys, man. That was a great era for basketball in the Fresno community. Josh, last night, let's talk about that Selma game, kind of where your team is at. You mentioned off air that's probably the best game you guys have played this season. Just kind of walk us through that win.
Yeah, it was just probably our most complete game where we're from start to finish. We came out, our defensive pressure was spot on, which is always what we start with is defense. We were able to really shoot the ball well last night too, which when you can hit shots, your defensive intensity naturally picks up when shots are falling. So we were able to connect on 14 threes last night, which is always nice. But it started with our defensive pressure. Yep. And we knew it was our first league win. We knew Selma was going to be tough.
They have a good – they they gave Fresno Christian their only loss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that was that scared me because I watched Fresno Christian, and John Penberth, he does an incredible job with them. And I watched him play at Kingsburg the other night, and I'm like, oh, boy, boys, we need to be ready for Selma.
Yeah.
Selma's the real deal. So we had a great, great night last night from Jaron Dotson, one of our junior guards. He had a season-high 18. Grant Hyde had 18, and then Jaden Bergman, he finished with 16 last night. It was good. It was overall a good night. To have three scores in double digits for us was really good.
Balance is key, man.
Yeah.
If I told you you were going to be 15-3 at this point, would you have said what?
I would say it wasn't on my radar. I thought it would be possible, but we're young. We have two seniors. I think Justin Garza and Kenny's kind of built the same way. We're both very young teams. So I thought we'd see some more bumps in the road. We've just been on the fortunate side of a lot of close games, like Kenny. I think Kenny would agree they beat us for 31 minutes in our game against them. Is that right, Kenny?
About that, yeah.
I mean, they were up 5 to 7 points the entire game. And then I don't know how, but somehow we snuck that out. And there's been four or five other games that we've just been on the right side of things, winning 3- and 4-point games.
Couple nice wins in there. I see Lemoore, right? Lemoore's always tough. Dinuba's playing better basketball right now as well. Ken, I mean, your team's off to a great start, 11-6. Played a nice schedule as well, right? Ramped up the schedule. You knew kind of what squad you had, even though you got a young team. Kind of where's Justin Garza at right now in your mind?
You know, like Coach Bergman, when we can kind of project and start to see what we could be or the number of wins if we focused on that. But I just wanted to play a preseason schedule where we play a lot of different styles. You know, go down to the coast, you play a lot of, you know, really not slower paced teams, but very meticulous,
methodical,
yeah. Right? Solid, strong guards, big. Went up, you know, Yuba City, play a little bit of zone, kind of known teams play a little bit of different styles there. I just wanted to kind of give my guys a full spectrum of just what we will see in, you know, possible league and to make sure when you talk about breaking the seasons up, you know, phase one for us is that preseason tournament schedule part of it. So just wanted to really make sure that we were challenged in it because I knew going up into that CMAC, you know, moving up into the league, our league was definitely going to get a little bit more. Last year was super competitive, but just, you know, another step up, if you will. So happy where we are. We had to go through some road bumps like everybody else. We had, you know, we played 8 games without 3 starters. So it really kind of gave a good opportunity for some other kids to get some reps. And along the way, you might kind of lose a little bit of who you're going to be at the end. So I think by having that bye this week, right, because we have a 5-team league, so
yep.
We only have 8 league games, so we had a bye. It was driving me crazy all off
season.
That's
hard.
I was trying to fill the game, Now I'm so thankful we had it because it gave us a little bit of opportunity to have a week of practice, kind of integrate some guys back into it. So,
give me some names. There's some of your dudes that are playing well for you, Ken.
Right now, I mean, we have, you know, it's a I think we're in any given night. Can be a few different guys, but you know, Josiah Wilson, sophomore, is pretty solid for us. Really during this time without some of the other kids, he's taking on a little bit more of the leadership role, if you will. You know, a lot of young players, they don't hide behind the background, but we kind of rely on some of our, well, I'm the same way, we have two seniors, one of them been hurt for 9 games, so kind of the seniors, if you will, to kind of like set the tone and set the pace for games and practices. But he's kind of had to come out of his shell a little bit and elevate. Peyton Powell, our one senior guard, has just been really solid this year. He's kind of playing out of position a little bit, has had to run our one, if you will, and he's kind of more of a natural kind of scorer off the catch. But he's been very solid for us. And then before he got hurt, and then coming back in the last two games, he's back for our win against Central East. Luke Polson, Jr., has really grown from last year. I mean, he puts in a lot of work, a lot of time, very important to him. So he's really kind of busting out of his shell. And then we have two junior kind of quasi bigs that played for us last year. Sophomores didn't get a lot of minutes, but they're really kind of put in a place where they have to perform this year. So it kind of took those 17 games for them to realize, like, if you guys don't play well, we don't play well. Like it's a big transition for kids to go from being a part of it. Right, to where, like, okay, on any given day, your contributions are kind of like not extra, but like you know, we don't have to plan on necessarily what we get from you. These guys, if they have, you know, B minus games, we're in trouble. Like, we need solid B, A games from these guys. So that pressure and that kind of growing through it has been kind of a struggle for us. But I think, you know, it's hit the right timing because, you know, you always want to peak at the end. So, like, if we use what we've kind of gone through and these kids kind of growing a little bit, I think really the sky is kind of the limit for us. I'm pretty optimistic, and I never am.
You're never optimistic.
For who we could be. Sure. Like, I can see who we could be. Like, we still kind of, I know I'm talking while, we still sneak up on teams. Like, we play Clovis West without those guys. You walk in the gym, and you get this feeling from the fans, like, oh, this is going to be. And then we're heading, you know, third quarter, and people are kind of going, whoa. So, like, we surprise people, but I think that if we're on any given night, if we're who we are, there should be no surprises.
Signature win, though, for you, Ken, just kind of looking at your schedule. You mentioned the Central East game. You did play Clovis West. But is there one win you're looking at like, hey?
You know, honestly, the win that I look at it was we went down and played in the Morro Bay tournament, and we played Atascadero and Mission Prep on the same day. And I think we had 7 healthy bodies for those 2 games. And somehow those 7 guys, they scratched out 2 really close wins. And that was a moment for us where we said, hey, man, we can rely on who's ever in. Like, we want everybody to be, but on day in, day out, that's why all the practices you go through in the summer, that's why the preseason stuff, that's why every rep you take is important, because you never know when you're going to be relied on heavily. So for us to figure out a way to win those 2 games, really kind of salvaged our season, because you lose those 2 and all of a sudden that 11 is 9.
That's right.
Doubt can creep up. Yeah. So those were really big for us.
Really quick, Ken, before we hear from Josh again, remind me of your league. I think a lot of people out there, you know, maybe even the casual basketball fans, like, Justin Garza, wait, they were in the, you know, the CMAC throwing in their first year of varsity. They were thrown in with the Bullards and those guys and the San Joaquin Memorial. Hoover, right? Just remind me again, or everybody out there, who's your league?
Well, so it's us, Hoover, Fresno High, Edison, and Madera.
You play each team twice? Is there a crossover?
So there's no crossovers. Okay. They did that last year, so this year there's no crossover games. So, I mean, I think your guys have done it.
We have a crossover.
Yeah.
And that was a Selma game, Josh?
No, my crossover is Exeter this year.
Okay, so Tri-County. Kings Division?
Yes.
Right? So, who do you got?
So we have Selma, Sierra Pacific, Kingsburg, and Emmanuel.
Okay.
Every night's going to be a grind there. Kingsburg's loaded. Emmanuel. All these teams, Selma, Sierra Pacific, and Emmanuel, they just play hard, as all league games are.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you're playing. They show up. And January basketball, it's just it tells you how tough you really are.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Josh. Mm-hmm. I am. You know, I'm an Emmanuel guy, right? When you, you know, got involved in the CBC stuff, did you automatically not like Emmanuel, right? When, you know, the Michigan coach got hired for football, like, I remember Dan Patrick asking him, do you automatically hate Ohio State? You have to. Right? Come on, Josh. Yeah, let's go here.
Oh, man, it's so
get
hard
after it.
Because Emmanuel, if – I just love Todd Brown so much. He's like a great, great friend of mine, and it's hard to hate your friends. It's like Kenny. I actually root for Garza if I'm not playing him. I root for Emmanuel if I'm not playing them. It's a weird feeling because we have that brotherhood of FPU guys, and I root for Tim Amundsen over at Bullard. I watch those guys, you know, even Tony at Clovis North. You know, it's an extension. I didn't play with Tony, but I played with Ty and Tim, his brothers, and I just naturally root for my FPU guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. But in football, though, you kind of really don't like Emmanuel.
No, football. Football's different. Yeah.
All right. Matchup wise, you mentioned, right, the league and how tough it is. I'm excited to do your game Tuesday against Hoover. Like, is there one game that you maybe get a little bit more juiced from? Is it Emmanuel? Like again,
Kingsburg and Emmanuel. They're just something about the rivalry there that's been there forever, way before I was here, that you just feel.
Yeah.
You just feel like Kingsburg really wants to beat us. Emmanuel really wants to beat us. It's a different tension when you're in their gyms, but it's fun. The kids love playing there. They love the the bantering from the fans, yeah, and that, you know, man, you'll be packed out on a Friday night, you know, and Kingsburg, those Kingsburg is a one high school town where the whole town comes. It's a really difficult place to go in and win. That's why I've never won there yet.
You've never won at Kingsburg?
No. But like Dinuba, you know, those one high school town, they just really get back. And I love that about those towns.
And you walk into the Kingsburg gym, and they do a fantastic job with their display cases. You see the history with Rafer Johnson. You see the Olympiad stuff. And you see, you know, on the right-hand side, you got Tyler Bray. I mean, it's just the history of a lot of these schools, right? You walk into it, you're like, oh, man, I'm not only going against this team. I'm going against the town. I'm going against the history. It's that kind of feel that's pretty fun. Ken, like rivalry rise, who do you guys really like to play?
You know, like the one thing about changing leagues, I guess, if you will, or the I like
it. And you're a relative new school. Let's be honest.
So the,
right?
Like, so in some ways, some of the, like, for us, it's going to be Madera. I mean, we started with Madera. They've been in our league for, you know, every year of our existence. So, like, if you talk about a rival, I think right now it would be a, you know, Madera High. Same thing. We've never beat them at their place. So that one's kind of on our radar, if you will, but for us, it's all of them. Like, we got to get back. I mean, to
good
the fact
answer.
That we're, like, this game matters more than any other game there is. So, and I don't think any team in our league really thinks, you know, that we're going to beat them. Like, they kind of, like, we're the new kids back in there, and they all just kind of feel like, oh, this is just kind of Garza coming into our place. So I think night in, night out, I think we got to kind of prove it to everybody, if you will.
How dangerous is it for you guys as head coaches not to get up in, like, ring chasing or getting to sell end? I mean, obviously that's the goal. You want to play in sell end. You want to have that experience. I know, Josh, we're a few points away. I don't want to
one, you know, one to be exact.
All right, 1 point away.
And I don't remember, but it was 7-for-17 from the free throw line. Not that I remember stats, but we were 7-for-17 from the free throw line and lost by one.
To get to sell end last
year. It hurts
year.
As much today as it did last year. And I'm staring at my son.
Yeah, you are. You are 7-17.
It's painful for him, too.
Is it difficult to, I don't know, do you get yourself caught up into that? Like, how do you guys frame that as coaches? Like, one game at a time, right? The cliches, they're cliches for a reason. You referenced it a little bit there, Ken. But, right, like, as a coach, what do you preach to your team? What's your staff's mentality towards that stuff?
For us, we always say we want to win our last game. So, like, if you're in a tournament, right, the goal is always to win the last game. Hopefully it's a championship game, but if it's not, you want to go out of that tournament as winners in that last game. So the way we look at it, coming into season two or phase two, and then before playoffs, if you're winning your last game, that means you're going to end up at Sullen.
Right.
And then if you end up at Sullen, you win your last game, you're going to end up in state playoffs. But, you know, that question probably every gym in America is asked the first day, right? Who wants to win a section championship? Every single player in every single gym raises their hand, yes. And then the challenge as coaches is, oh, do you? Because you know what it takes to get there. You know what it takes to, you say 1 point, but it's really, how do we get 2 points better? Mm-hmm. So that's the tricky part, because all of us dream about it. All of us project about it. All of us can see our teams getting there. And it's not a buy-in thing, but every kid, you know, oh, right. Like it's kind of a rallying thing, if you will. But I don't think the goal can be the last game you might play in the year. Like, you really have to be focused on the day-in, day-out process of making sure you prepare yourselves for the opportunity to play at Sullen. The last time I was there is 2011 as an assistant. It's been a long time. And it really, the selling for me, for our kids, I want to win it. I want to win. We all do. But that's not what we talk about. I want to give you the opportunity to play there. I want to give you the opportunity to have that experience, to be on that court, to have the moments that would create for you, right? So, like, it's a goal for us, but it's not talked about like we're going to go to Sullen. It's what's the process to get there? And how do we make sure we're prepared for that opportunity?
Josh, for you, you mentioned you guys were so close last year. Like, did you use that as a motivation? Did the kids bring it up? Like, guys, we could taste it. We could literally taste playing in Sullen Arena. Like, how did you frame it this year?
Yeah, it's just something that we want to get back to, that get that opportunity to go back again. So for us, it's like any coach said, it's day by day for us. We that is the ultimate goal, of course. Like Kenny just said, you know, it's our goal, everyone's goal, to get to Sullen. But for us, I mean, we want to win our league first, and then we want to go make a run in the playoffs. Division three, what it looks like we'll be in this year, is going to be a dogfight. It is loaded at the top, so that's not going to ever be easy. And we know those opportunities are far and few between. Yeah. You just want to take advantage of them. Yeah. You know, it's special to get to selling, though.
That's
the goal.
It is, and you know, you think about playoffs, whatever sport, right? Baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Playoffs can be it's a different animal. Like you think with football, right? You take care of the football all season. All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, you fumble it. The other team jumps on it. How are you going to react to that? In baseball, you know, you saw guys off, right? Bloopers fall that normally would. I mean, things happen in the playoffs. You know, a crazy bounce here or a rebound here or a technical foul. I mean, just different things can happen. It is fortunate in some ways, but a lot of times you create your own fortune, right? You create your own luck by those habits that you talk about, getting one or two points better.
Yep.
Those types of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about Fresno Pacific? Let's get to it. What are some cool memories? We hit on it a little bit. You mentioned, you know, the Admonsons, and we talked about John Jones, who played there as well. You know, guys like Todd Tompkins. But what are some great memories that you guys had playing? Ken, I know you had that great game against Fresno City that we bring up every once in a while when you played against Fresno City College.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, but
We had a player this year who graduated last year, Tristan Chavez. He went to Tabor, and he's playing, like, on their JV team. And I had to explain to my team, because, you know, the JV programs aren't really around in a lot of places anymore. So when we were freshmen, we all played on the JV team as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had the opportunity to go play all the junior colleges, right? And you kind of they would have the same, like, these look at these seven or eight kids walk in, like, on this JV team from Fresno, but right? And I don't know, we waxed a lot of those teams, the Modesto Christians, the Fresno Cities. I don't know exactly, but it was in the 50s, right? Against Fresno City, right? And I had a lot of guys that gave me the ball a lot of times. So, like, that was a very good moment. It's funny, over the years, like, the basketball moments are really important to me. I remember, like, you guys were talking about preseason stuff. I just remember me coming in from a high school student, not realizing the different commitment even that, you know, Fresno Pacific had, if you will. And just the I don't want to say toward the how hard the conditioning was. My son's a freshman there this year. He's running track, and he's conditioned for that kind of stuff, but he's still coming home and going like that. We had to run 1,500,000 miles. Like, he can't believe how much it is. And I remember kind of that's where the bonds that, like, I met, like, the Jason Laneys and you, like, other people, like, kind of through that struggle, I guess, that struggle bus finally. And then my fondest moments are just, like, moving into the dorms and having people come in and kind of like, oh, look at that baseball card collection. I still remember I have pictures of you just kind of going through my collection and just looking at stuff and then bringing yours in and just kind of just seeing, okay, there's a lot of people that have the same interests that I do. Because, not to go too deep, coming in as a freshman, I wasn't really sure who I was.
And you came from – like, you're not a Fresno, Clovis, Visalia guy. You were, like, somewhere up there driving 99. You go off, I don't know, the Boonie area.
Yeah, I'm up from Angels Camp, California.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's too long of a story to tell, but I think it's kind of a funny story how I ended up at Fresno Pacific. My high school girlfriend at the time, we were going to go to Santa Clara. And then, you know, her family went to Azusa Pacific, and, like, on her 18th birthday, she got some kind of blanket or something that had Azusa Pacific on it, and I looked like, huh? And I was 17 when I graduated from high school, right? So, like any smart 17-year-old, I just drove down to Azusa Pacific. And I said, all right. And I had a little tryout, and the coach said, oh, yeah, but we have no money. Because this was, like, in August. And my dad, you know, looked at the papers and we're not paying this much. Yeah. You can go to Santa Clara for free, wherever. So driving back, I'd never been to Fresno before. I saw Fresno Pacific. I said, turn. Huh. And we turned off and we entered the gym. And Slick Watts, Coach Watts was there. And Todd Brown, all the guys that had graduated before, they were doing their Sunday gym thing. And I went in there and played. And Slick called up John Moore and said, I think I got another guy, and ended up at Fresno Pacific. So was never on a plan. And then really haven't left. I mean, I was out of the area for a while, but Fresno became a home, so.
Good stuff. Josh, what about for you? What pops?
Yeah, My journey to Fresno Pacific came from Bakersfield High School. I come from the Bakersfield High Drillers, and Slick Watts recruited me as well, and John Moore. And it was sad for me when John Moore left after my freshman year. It was your sophomore year, I think.
Sophomore year, yeah.
And then Jim Sargent took over. And my fondest memories were just playing. Kenny and I were on the JV team, but we were kind of the two of the better players that would kind of get. We'd play both teams. Sometimes we'd play up, and sometimes we'd play both. And my fondest memory is playing Fresno City and beating them too. We were a bunch of like young 17, 18 year olds. I was like Kenny. I was super young. And Steve Cleveland comes up to me after that game, and I had a big game because we only had like seven of us, and we get to shoot a lot.
Yeah.
Kenny's looking at me, pointing at me. Yeah, I did shoot a lot. But I think I had a game of, 38, 40 points against Fresno City, and Steve Cleveland comes up to me after this game, probably the best compliment a big-time coach like that ever gave me, but he says, "What are you doing at Fresno Pacific?" I'm like, "I'm not that good, really. I'm really not that good. All those guys up there are really good, you know, the Amundsen boys and John and Todd and all those. But Donnie Moore and but it was just funny that Steve Cleveland at the time was the JC coach at Fresno City,
yeah,
who ended up Fresno State, BYU, and he just said, "What are you doing at Fresno Pacific?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm really not that good."
You just got on a heater.
I got to shoot a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what makes his team special. Because you and I both know, and I don't want to pump Bergman too much. Bergman could flat out shoot the basketball. When he says he wasn't that good, he was. And he knows he was.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but I don't, sometimes I wonder if I took it serious enough.
Yeah.
I don't know, like basketball never seemed like it was your end-all, be-all.
Right.
It wasn't your identity, but you were really good. Yeah. There was never a shot he didn't want to take, but I don't think there was a shot he couldn't make. And that was kind of who he was, like that quiet confidence, that, right? Like, just keep on. Remember, I think a baby bull or something like that. We called him baby.
Right.
He just came in and he just was a force. But he would leave the court and just get that little smile back on his face and just enjoy life. So I really remember that about Josh, because you kind of like starting to come here with him on the show, going like, okay, I'm getting older, my memory's slipping a little bit.
Well, that's why we do
right?
these shows, yeah. Right? So we can keep those memories alive. Hey, are you surprised that his team actually plays a little defense? Because that's what we would mock this guy about.
I can make a really bad joke. I mean, that's why we have staffs, right? So, if we make sure that we get coaches on our staff, it probably can help us with our, some of our weaknesses. And I need that as well. I don't know if I was much of a defender as well. I think the first shirt I wore at Fresno Pacific was yellow. And on the front it said, "If it wasn't for offense, I'd play defense." That's how I came into college basketball. I remember that shirt. So
we're like hypocritical coaches because we preach so much defense, but neither one of us like to play defense.
Yeah.
So that's what's so funny about our program. That's why I have great coaches like Coach Moore and Coach Cummings and Coach Hyde who just really are defensive gurus, because I certainly am not. So I got to give them all the credit, because we do play defense and Kenny does too. But it's not learned from my actions, that's for sure.
My coaches are like, "It's been an hour and 45 minutes. Are we ever going to get to the defense?"
Hey, do you see a lot of yourself in your son, Josh?
I do, just the competitive drive.
Yeah.
The one thing that makes me most proud of him is just he's so humble and quiet, and he'll never put himself above his teammates or make it about him. He just works. He's our hardest worker, and he's just becoming a more leader of our team. And,
And only a sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah. Just doesn't take plays off.
Yeah.
I never had the stamina he did. I just never got in that kind of condition. Like Kenny and I were talking about in that mile time, and the conditioning at FPU was just different. He just works so hard. I'm proud of him.
Good stuff. All right. We got a couple more minutes. Ken Vossler and Josh Bergman, this has been a lot of fun. Huge treat for me. What's the cool? So, Ken, you mentioned baseball cards, football cards, and all that to collect. What's like a cool memorabilia item that you have? What do you cherish? Maybe something in your office, maybe a picture even.
Yeah, there's, you asked that. I have so many things, but, probably not the most valuable, but the most, heart-filled or important things to us. So the first thing I have is my fondest memories with my grandparents were like going to California Angels spring trainings, right? So they went every year and they would bring me, and that's the first time I flew, and like that, it's like a 10-minute, you know, plane flight from Sacramento to Palm Springs. So I remember going up and down, but like all the players back then were so kind of accessible. And I remember just walking around, and Rod Carew was sitting in a shopping cart with a hat on backwards and just like eating an ice cream cone. And I was like probably a 9-year-old kid. And you're not afraid, but like, how do I go ask this dude that's sitting in a shopping cart? He looks like he's relaxed. And I'm walking by up to him and by and back, and he just waves me over. And I go over there, and he goes, "Hey, you know, my name is Rod Carew. What's your name, young man?" I go like, you know, whatever, probably Kenny, because they got to be Kenny here. And he said, "Do you have something for me?" And I said, "Yeah, would you mind to sign my baseball?" Right? And signs the baseball, throws it up in the air to me. And I just remember that feeling of going like, oh, man, like, you know, these guys that I watch on TNT or whatever, they're real people. And that's kind of what sparked my love for kind of collecting stuff. And it's not a negative story, but then I go over to Reggie Jackson. And he's kind of like, right? Because he's getting a little more big time.
You got $5, kid.
Kind of like that. I don't want to say anything, you know, negative. But he finally signed that same baseball. But he signed it upside down. So his name is like upside down on the – I don't know if it's on purpose, but I'm kidding. So I have Rod Carew on this side and Reggie Jackson on this side of a baseball. So that's up in my office, wow. Right? And it's not a – you know, who knows what Reggie was going through that day. And I'm not trying to paint a story about him, but like – that's a reminder, like the way that I treat my players or my kids or people around me, I could go one or two sides on that ball. I could be accessible or inaccessible. I could be inviting or uninviting a little bit. So, and I'm usually on the other side, the uninviting thing. So I need a reminder just like, all right, you know, whoever it is, make sure that we treat them with a little bit of grace and a little bit of respect. And then the second thing is I have a Willie Mays baseball bat. Willie McCovey is for Junior Giants. So why that's important for me, that's the one time I really did get to coach my sons, like in the little Junior Giants program. But my wife was the head coach. I was the assistant coach. And when they did the voting or whatever for it, right, it's a big deal. She put my name down on the slip, and I actually won. So I got to go on field, meet Willie McCovey, and I have this baseball bat, and she just, like that's hers.
Yeah,
but that's who she is. She wanted me to have that opportunity, so that's very special.
That's
me.
Cool. All right, Rod Carew, Reggie Jackson, love that. I can just picture that baseball, Willie McCovey bat. Josh, what's special to you?
So I have a Dick Butkus signed Chicago Bears helmet.
Ooh.
I'm a big Chicago Bears fan, and actually my son is over there, Peyton Bergman, who is one of our assistant coaches at CBC, and he's actually named after Walter Payton, so his name is Payton. And everyone says, "Oh, Peyton Manning." Like, no. Walter Payton is who my son is named after. So that's a cool thing I have. And then I just cherish my 86 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie card.
Oh, let's go.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You got one.
I got one of those, yeah.
Ungraded?
Unfortunately, it's not perfect.
Wow, that's fine. It's special to
but
you.
But it's good
you got
to me.
One.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. I got to see that. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to text me a picture of that bad boy.
I will do that.
Well, good stuff. My gosh. I think you guys actually broke a record. No, I've had – Stephen Vogt was on my show. People ask me, like, who's your favorite interview of all
CBC
time?
CBC Cav.
CBC Cav.
And
we brought that up.
Stephen Vogt.
Yes.
The kid.
He was on for a full hour right before his last year for the A's. But, man, as far as coaches go, I think you guys might have broke the record for longest time here on the Central Valley Sports Report. I wish we had more time, to be honest. You guys are great friends, great coaches, man. It's been a pleasure for me to watch your guys' journey and to watch your basketball teams. And a lot more basketball left in this season. So,
thanks for having us, Paul.
Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
It's fun.
And who's paying for lunch?
I got it, guys. Let's go.
It's going on the Sierra Gold company card.
Supreme Almond Sierra Gold card.
Awesome. All right, good stuff, guys. Really appreciate it. All right, we're going to be hearing from Paul Hernandez. We're going to be talking about some boys' basketball rankings next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Hernandez on the air right now. Paul does a fantastic job with rankings, and we're kind of short on time, man. So, Paul, you got to blame Josh Bergman and Ken Vosser here for taking up so much time in the segment before. Actually, great conversation, man. Love these guys. But how you doing, my friend? Paul, do we got you? There he is. All right, Paul, we got you on the line right now?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you. Hey, all right. First of all, thanks for coming on. Just to get right into it, like who are some teams in the boys' side of high school basketball in the Central Valley that has really impressed you this year? I don't think there's been a lot of movement since we talked a few months ago with your preseason rankings, but, hey, the top is the top for a reason, right?
Yeah, you know, I think actually it's a little bit more mixed up than I was looking at. I think when we talked at the beginning of the year, also, you know, happy holidays, happy new year, happy Merry Christmas. But, yeah, I mean, you've been to two games this week already, two good games that I think kind of show where things are at. I think St. Joe's is clearly at the top by itself. I think they're kind of like almost in a league by their own. San Joaquin does play them at their place next Saturday. I think that's a really, really good game to kind of keep an eye on. But again, playing over there is never easy, as San Joaquin knows in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And I think just in general, if you look at the depth, you look at the teams they've played, what I'm noticing, Paul, so like that next tier of like Buchanan, you were there last night at Buchanan and Clovis. Clovis has obviously made some major improvements. Lose that game by two on more or less a buzzer beater. So I look at like Buchanan, Bakersfield Christian with a huge win over San Joaquin Memorial at the Damien Classic, right? So that's a big one as far as possibly if they're seated close enough for BCHS to challenge. But then BCHS has got, since the Damien, they've got some injury issues with their perimeter scoring guys. Jeremiah Killebrew and Braylon Smith have both been out more or less since the Damien. And they had a really close call last night against Highland and Bakersfield, which is not a powerhouse, you know what I mean? So you kind of see what I'm noticing with those kind of top-tier teams, Buchanan, Clovis North, Clovis West, BCHS, even Bakersfield High, Clovis East is kind of still lingering around there, you know, as a team that's not going to be easy to just put away this year. San Joaquin Memorial, I think what you're seeing with all those teams is they all have a couple guys that are really, really good, if not great, you know, player, high school basketball players. But the depth of these teams is just not there. And so when San Joaquin played Bakersfield Christian at the Damien, Dom Oliver-Wandry got in some foul trouble. He's also a little banged up right now too, but he got in some foul trouble. He's out of the game, and all of a sudden, you know, you just see the rosters kind of diminish pretty quickly. You know what I mean? And same thing with Bakersfield Christian. I watched them on Thursday. They hosted San Gabriel Academy from down south. San Gabriel's got a lot of big guys. They were missing Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah got hurt in the game, so played about a quarter and a half. Braylon Smith sat the game out. He's got a thigh issue. And so you take away those two top perimeter scorers, and all of a sudden, like, where's the scoring coming from? You know what I mean? And so I think the interesting thing this year with like, Division One and even how it lingers into Division Two, and across the board is there's not a lot of teams that are super, super deep. And so it's really going to come down to who can stay healthy. You know, I've been super impressed with Tulare Union. I saw them a couple times at the Poly. They've got the two, like, dynamic guards, DeMarjay Riley and Braylon Stevenson. You know, those two are the engines that make it go. But, again, if one of those guys goes down, they all of a sudden drop off drastically, you know. So that's kind of like for, like, the Division I area, I look at those top teams, kind of like San Joaquin, Clovis High. We're not Clovis High, sorry, they're D2. So San Joaquin, Buchanan, Clovis North, Clovis West, I think, is right there. I'm really curious. I'm going to try to go to the Clovis West-Buchanan game next Friday. I think that's going to be a really intriguing one. I just think the track is really, really competitive. I don't see a clear-cut favorite. And I think last night you saw that, right, with Clovis High kind of on a resurgence, but at the Division II program, you know what I mean? But losing to Buchanan by two, who's only got, I think, two losses on the season. So I think what you're seeing this year, just again, is you have your top teams, but there's not a ton of depth. Like Centennial and Bakersfield is another team that's, you know, got an impressive record right now. I think they're like 11-6 or 11 and 5 or something like that. And, you know, they got a win against Hanford. They got a big win against Hanford. They beat Santa Paula in a Friday night game, just kind of a one-off game. They lost to Bakersfield High, but it was a really good game for 3.5 quarters. And then they lose to Sanger the other night by, like, almost 10. You know what I mean? And so that's, yeah, that's where we're at. Like, there's just so much parity at, like, everything outside of those top 4 or 5 teams. It's just really bunched up. And I think it's going to make for a really interesting regular season the next couple of weeks, like this month. But also I think it's going to make for a really interesting playoffs, because I think it's going to be who can stay healthy and who can have all their pieces together when the playoffs come. Because I think that's going to be a determining factor. I don't think it's going to be who's got home court advantage necessarily. It's going to be who's healthy.
I agree. Yeah, and the depth thing is an issue. I've seen quite a few teams this year only playing 7, maybe 8, depending on the circumstances. So that's a great point there, Paul. We only got a couple minutes for you. Again, thanks for jumping on with us and giving us a quick snapshot.
Of course.
Is it easy for us to say a team like, you know, to challenge St. Joseph? The Price brothers are definitely a problem for teams to try to guard. The team that has the most firepower and defensive pressure as well is San Joaquin Memorial, that can beat a St. Joseph. And we're going to find out,
yeah,
obviously,
so.
but that's a good comparison.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, they've got the size. I also think Bakersfield Christian, I mean, I think, again, when they're healthy, when everything's, again, the game they played against San Joaquin Memorial, Braylon Smith has 20. The big man, Ty Woe, had 23 and 14. Jeremias had 15. If they can get that contribution out of those three, and then you've got some perimeter guys now that have been cleared. One came from football, and Owen Urosek, and then Carter Steinbach, who was a transfer from Stockdale, sophomore. Just both of those two are, like, really, really good three-point shooters. So now you got guys that can space the floor. But I think as far as the senior leadership, and I think as far as just team chemistry goes, San Joaquin, I mean, I know they beat them in the fall at Clovis West, and they were pretty much at full strength. They were only missing one player, and it's not one of their top two or three guys. As good as St. Joe's is and as deep and as big as they are, scoring for them, though, you know, Gunnar Morinini, I think, has been huge for them as far as that third option. But I really think because you have a Parker Speed, 6'9", in the post, I think because you've seen what you've seen out of Ty Shock. You were at the Bullard-San Joaquin game the other night, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I mean, you see it, right? They've got the pieces that all fit. The freshman, Jaden Johnson, is a stud coming off the bench, giving you that firepower, really good perimeter defense. They can pressure the ball. Again, Dom, 6'5", Parker, 6'9", you know, you've got Ty Shock, 6'2", really, really shooting the ball well right now. I just see them as the team that's got the most complete team aspect. They can kind of go blow for blow. They played each other over the summer, too, at the Cali Live event, and St. Joe's won by about 8 or 9. So both times they've played each other, again, not an official game, but games that matter where all the players were playing and they were playing for something. I think that's the only team I really see giving them a push right now. I just don't know if Clovis North has enough depth. And again, like we were talking about, you know, any injury to any one of those teams that are kind of up in the top, like with Bakersfield Christian, you can see it right now. You take out your two top perimeter scorers, that's a totally different team. You know what I mean? And then who are they able to challenge? And so I just think that San Joaquin has probably the biggest margin of error when it comes to if someone was to get in foul trouble against St. Joe's or something like that, assuming you got to play them over there in the playoffs. But if San Joaquin can end up with a 2 seed or a 3 seed even and not have to face them until potentially the section championship game, I think that makes it a lot more of a fair contest. You know, but I also think Division II, you look at potentially a Clovis High and Bakersfield High matchup, possibly. Those are both base D2 teams, and I don't think they're going to be good enough to get into that top 25%. Assuming it's only 8 teams, that means they would have to be the 1 or 2 seed. And I just don't think that's going to happen. And so if you have those two, that could be an amazing championship game for Division II. Division III right now, you're looking at, you know, Tulare Union, South Bakersfield looks really good. Justin Garza's looked really good this year. I've seen him a few times. So, you know, like every single division is Got some really good. And then I'll see Fresno Christian a couple times. Really curious to see them. I'm hearing a lot of great things about Leon Maddox, that he is just balling right now. Top 10 player in the section. And so they could be, again, another threat back in the Division Four when it looked like it was going to be a down year for them. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I think San Joaquin is the, really the only team that has a true puncher's chance against St. Joe's this year.
All right. Hey, good stuff, Paul. Hey, we'll definitely bring you on when the playoff brackets are out. We'll break those down, we'll chop it up, and we'll give the people a good lay of the land for that. Hey, always appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, Paul. I appreciate you, man. I'll probably see you next week.
Sounds great. All right, that is a wrap for today's show. Thanks to Tyrone Jackson, Josh Bergman, Ken Vossler for coming on the show. Thanks to Joe Gomez for producing it. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.